Welcome to Module 12, Animal Welfare and Retirement Issues. Number one is veterinary oversight and racing soundness. All animals that compete at pari-mutuel racetracks are overseen by regulatory veterinarians before, during, and after the competition. And all animals are subject to drug testing, which we will go into specifically in a later module. There are veterinarians at the racetrack that will look at these animals prior to racing on the morning that they race in the major jurisdictions. In some of the smaller jurisdictions, the veterinarians are only able to inspect the horses when they come up to the paddock. But they are always inspected at the paddock. A veterinarian is on the racetrack whenever the horses or the greyhounds are on the track, and all animals are visually inspected as soon as their competition is over. We need to talk about racing soundness. What's the definition of racing soundness? You and I have aches and pains just from day-to-day living, and we certainly get along with a little ache here and a little ache there. Generally, racehorses or any athlete have the same sorts of things. Little aches and pains, little strains, and every day we get a day older. Racing soundness is generally defined that the horse may have old injuries and they may be currently blemishes, but those things that are not on the horse cause them no pain, no discomfort, and do not put the horse at risk, any of the other horses in the race at risk, or any of the riders at risk. You may see some horses go to the racetrack with an old bowed tendon. Basically, that's a blemish. It doesn't affect the way they race. It may have taken them down a notch from competition, but it is not anything that is putting their health or the health of anyone else in the competition at risk. Certainly, regulatory veterinarians have a very fine line to walk. What is just a little ache and pain? What do horses warm out of? And what's truly something that could put them at risk? These veterinarians make a physical inspection. They look at them, they watch these horses move and run their hands down their legs. They do not have the benefit of taking x-rays, scintigraphy, or any of the other type modalities that you can use to look and determine if a horse is racing sound or not. So the regulatory veterinarians have a tough job and they make the best call they can. They want to keep everyone safe. What kind of research is being done? In California, there's a state law that any horse that is injured and dies at the racetrack for any reason must be autopsied. Now, some horses suffer injuries on the racetrack or while training that are related to their racing career. Although other horses, even if they colic and they succumb to colic or something else, some other sort of ailment, they're also autopsied. Through this research, and it's the necropsy program, a lot of benefit has been gained in knowing what goes on with horses at the racetrack, what causes greater risk, and what are some of the underlying reasons that some of the horses get injured. There was a lot of work done looking at the relationship of the length and the size of a toe grab and injury, and lots of information was gleaned from these post-mortem exams about horses that have ulcers. A lot of high-tech diagnostic tools are also available to veterinarians today, such as nuclear scintigraphy, lots of new modalities to speed healing. And some tracks even have full-blown veterinary clinics right there on the racetrack available for the horsemen to take their horses to, and they do not have to transport them. There is quite a bit of money being put forth to research of not just racing injuries, but research in general for horses. one of the most important issues we face is what happens to these wonderful athletes who have served us well once they reach their retirement years. As far as the horses go, the American Quarter Horse Association does an excellent job of tracking their retirees and also giving them a place to go. As I mentioned early on, the AQHA does have a cradle-to-grave registry, meaning that every time the horse changes hands, to keep the horse's registration current, their papers must go through the offices and have the registration updated to reflect the current ownership. The American Quarter Horse Association offers shows just for quarter horses, and these are very prestigious, so many quarter horses who finish their racing career go on to something else that is sanctioned with the AQHA. And therefore, all the points, all the ownership, everything associated with that horse is recorded. The AQHA has done an excellent job in tracking their horses once they come off the racetrack and know the exact percentages of horses that go into other activities, go into breeding, or are retired due to soundness issues. Unfortunately, the Jockey Club does not have that same sort of system set up, and once a thoroughbred is finished at the racetrack, it would be impossible to find that horse. You could call the Jockey Club, but because they don't keep records of the transfers, the subsequent transfers after the horse leaves the racetrack, it would be almost impossible to find a thoroughbred that you're interested in. Also, because there's not an ongoing point system, most of the horses that do have second careers, and many, many thoroughbreds do, from pleasure horses, trail riding horses, to hunter jumpers, to event horses, their name changes. As every time they change ownership, someone has a name they like better, and the horse has a new identity. So they are very hard to trace. They will have tattoos in their mouth, so once you have a horse, you can certainly look up his racing career, but it would be hard to find him if you didn't have that. One of the biggest issues facing all horse ownership today is the idea of what happens once they even are no longer able to do their post-racing career. Some very famous horses in recent times that were famous racehorses have been known to have gone on to slaughter. Exceller went to slaughter in Sweden, and just recently it was found that a Derby horse had been sent to slaughter in Japan. This has become a very hot issue with racing today, and the idea of what we can do to offer wonderful retirement homes to all of these animals is certainly at the top of everyone's to-do list. In greyhound racing, they've lived through this PR nightmare. In the early days of the greyhound racing, there were many times when greyhounds were euthanized when they were no longer able to race. And it was the popular misconception that they made poor pets. Unfortunately, this went on far too long until the greyhound owners, as well as the racetracks, really turned around the situation and partnered up to form greyhound adoption leagues and opportunities at the racetracks. Greyhounds make fantastic pets. They are excellent family dogs, and it has been wonderful to see the increase in the number of greyhound adoptions. In 1990, there were only about 3,500 greyhound adoptions that year. Last year, it was up to 18,000. And that's about 75% of the greyhounds that have been retired. There's certainly a number of other issues dealing with animal welfare and retirement, but those will be the major ones for this section.